everybody, and welcome to the Berm Boost. It's my first introduction, and I already
You
failed.
Had one job. I said you could do it this one time. And what happens?
Welcome.
You mess it up.
Welcome
you're
to
like,
the...
You're like the kid who gives a report on Canada and in the first sentence calls it Canadia. You done goofed, Dozer. I'm Syarkos. Show's over.
Goodbye?
No, we have stuff to talk about.
Okay. Welcome to the Boom Burst Phase 11 review for Pokemon Turf Wars. If you don't already know me by now, there's something wrong with you. I'm Dozer.
He's our wonderful neutral mod. And I, as I said already, am Syarkos, the slave labor of this show.
You're the editor.
The slave labor.
Basically. Hey, I edit too, kind of.
You edit too, and then you're like, hey, can you get the next episode out instead?
I'm sick, damn you.
You can edit when you're sick. I've done it.
Not when I'm about to collapse from exhaustion.
I've recorded an episode after throwing up.
Yeah, well, you're a little bit more hardcore than I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I also shattered my... I also donated blood and then went on to do a musical the next... Like, I went to... What happened? I donated blood. I have very bad history with donating blood. Two times I had to leave in a wheelchair. One time I fell down some steps because I passed out. But I went to musical practice the one day, and it was just like intense dancing beyond belief after donating blood. And it was like maybe an hour and a half after I was done.
And I'm the person who's so frail, I dislocate my knee in English class. So, yeah. You hardcore mate.
I secretly have a little bit of Australian blood in me.
You're part rodeo.
I'm part rodeo.
And Evo? Is Evo Australian?
I'm part rodeo, part Evo, and sarcastic beyond belief like Daiko. I am the best of both worlds, of all three worlds.
How did you wind up on Arcadia instead of Dim Sun?
Because reasons.
Well, Aqua, I should say, but
yeah, Aqua was the reason. And
because reasons.
And dude, Aqua was like, it was water, and water's awesome.
So you went with the team that was winning.
No, actually, when I joined it, what happened was I was like, okay, because this is a little bit of season one history. When Cypher disbanded, it was like, okay, everybody go to another team. And everyone was like, let's all go to Magma because we're getting our ass handed to us by Magma. And I was like, okay, whatever. And I was looking at Magma and I was like, but I kind of like Aqua because I played Sapphire first and Aqua's like the team I liked. And I always felt like they had a better motive in the game, even though their reasons are scientifically inaccurate beyond belief. So I went to Aqua mainly for that reason. Plus, I wanted to use Mantine on a team. So,
let's face it, it's because Queenie was on Aqua.
I actually didn't know Queenie until then.
How did you not know Queenie?
No. And in fact, Queenie was the first person of Aqua to talk to me because... I remember the old chat we used to use was really nice. It was better than the chat we use now. And I made a comment that...
Was it Club Penguin?
It wasn't Club Penguin. Aww. That was the older Aqua chat. that was the Aqua chat before I came on. And that was some beta thing that Don Mew wanted people using. Remember, but it was a really nice service actually. It was like you could like customize your colors, you'd be able to see who's doing what, and it was very organized. And I remember the first time I went into the IRC that Aqua used, I thought it looked really ugly, especially the emoticons. And so I left, I made a comment to like one of the other Cypher members. I came back in later that day. And Queenie, the first person to talk to me, hey there, I'm sorry that our chat service, I'm sorry that our chat made you want to get Ebola.
This is is why we love Queenie.
And I was just like, okay, I think this is the right team. But what have you been up to, Dozer?
Do I really need to answer that? Because you know what's going on, and Queenie knows what's going on even though she's not here.
No, 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 not that stuff. We don't care about that stuff.
That's been my life for the last few days, though.
Yeah, no, we're talking about the fun stuff.
Fun stuff? Well, I finally got the component cable for my Wii so I can use my game capture. So I've been testing that today.
2008 technology. He's moving on up in the world. He bought a smartphone a couple months ago. Now he's got a component cable.
Speaking of smartphone, I should probably turn the ringer off.
I don't know where mine's at.
I put mine to vibrate. I gotta remember to turn it on because I have to wake up in the morning because I have a 9 a.m. class.
Oh yeah, that starts tomorrow, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm back in hell tomorrow.
Oh, you never left, Dozer.
Oh, please, I'm going to the 9th level of hell tomorrow. I call it the 9th level because it's 9 a.m. where I go into a classroom and sit and listen to a lovely professor, but a little bit quirky, drone on and on and on about exploration literature, which is basically reading the journals of the early American explorers like Christopher Columbus, who, by the way, if you didn't know, he was an asshole.
Yeah, there's actually, like, that's one reason why, like, I guess Columbus Day isn't as big of a national holiday as it is. As it used to be.
Because,
like, I remember as a kid, like, well, first of all, as a kid, I grew up in Virginia, so, like, any national-type holiday, because I was kind of close to D.C., is, like, just kids, get out of here. Just kick you out the door. But, like, even recently, I've been seeing, like, Columbus Day. It's, like, nobody is getting it off because people, I think, started a petition because they don't think it should be recognized as a national holiday.
Because Columbus was just an incredibly horrible person and incredibly racist and took advantage of an entire native indigenous group of people, even though that's just basically history in and of itself.
Yeah, it's very dark.
I
understand. Yeah, that's history though. But like, yeah, it was screwed up.
But if you think he himself is a horrible person, read his journals and the journals of other explorers, and you'll hate them even more because the sheer existence of being forced to read those things, listen to those things, and even worse, analyze them, where it's like one thing when you analyze a poem or a piece of fiction, but when you're analyzing nonfiction, you're just kind of like, this is literally what happened.
Oh,
it means no more than this. There is no deeper meaning to it. This is a documentation of something that happened. We can maybe try and guess what the writer thought about what was going on, but newsflash, no one cares.
Yeah.
And it's at 9 a.m. I am not a morning person. Like, on average, I'm falling asleep between 3 and 8 in the morning for the past week. And so I need to, like, I'm probably not going to sleep tonight. Tomorrow's going to be hell.
Yeah, but it's just syllabus day, so you can just...
Yeah, but the thing is, I tried to take this class last semester, and it was just so boring, and there was so much stuff going on, and I missed so much of it. I'm just like, I'm out.
I'm Audi 500.
Yeah, I just dropped. I dropped it, and I'm like, I need to take this class. It's required for my degree. I'm considering transferring to a different school, so I don't have to take this class. I'm seriously considering at some points, like, trying to get a credit to transfer in so I can avoid it. Because most of my friends who have worked on the same degree in the same department say it is the worst class of the entire degree. And this is talking to someone who still needs to pass the intro course to my degree. Long story involving lots of accidents, incidents, and a paper getting too harshly graded and me missing out on credit by 0.2 points.
Eh, we've probably talked about it before.
I hate people.
We're just going to make a whole compilation of Dozer's tragic story, and we're going to release it as a book on tape, narrated by Queenie.
And it's going to be marketed as a comedy.
Yes. It's going to, we're going to pitch it to CBS.
And it's going to be called The Rules on How to Make Anything Funny. Location, location, and if it happens to a fat man.
I was thinking more along the lines of Bigger Boom Thesis, but I guess that works.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, yeah, we'll look out for that brand new comedy on CBS this fall at 7:30.
I'm glad the tragedies of my life can become a comedy.
Yeah, it's like, it's the, Dozer is literally all that is drama.
I'm gonna go kill myself now.
Hey, there we go. He's going Shakespearean now.
I'm gonna go kill myself. I'll see you guys tomorrow, because I'm just stuck in hell. So even if I die, I'm just gonna show up here again. By the way, did you know there's Wi-Fi in hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's Netgear, I'm guessing.
Nah, it's a bit better than that.
Yeah. See, I would guess it'd be Netgear because, you know, they still haven't sent me my frickin' router.
Your internet is horrible. My internet is beautiful. I'm in hell and you're not. What's going on with this picture?
I don't know. I did something really stupid today, though.
What'd you do that was stupid?
So I had this glorious idea for a brand new series of things that I'll be posting to YouTube.
Oh my.
Called Pokemon TCG Roulette. And basically this was a game that you saw a little bit with like Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and there's also a MTG variant called it was called Flip and Rip.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, which shout out to Dalek for showing me that, but it's not quite that. The concept is you go out, you buy like 5 or 6 booster packs. You set one to the side. You open the ones you didn't set to the side, get to keep whatever's in there. And then the fifth one, you cut in half.
So you're literally wasting money.
I'm only wasting $4.
That could potentially be worth a lot more.
Yeah, but this is me. Unless I get really lucky. I mean, it's 1 in 5 packs. The pull rates on Pokemon cards for holos, I believe, are 1 in 4. It's either 1 in 4 or 1 in 5. So it's not too bad of odds, actually. I've done my math, Dozer. I do know how to calculate stuff. And I think the worst part about this is I decided, because I asked you beforehand, which one should I cut? And you said Genesect. And I was like, because I went out and got a couple of legendary treasure packs, and I rolled the dice, and then I ended up still getting Genesect because I decided a dice roll would be even more random.
I had no idea what you were talking about, though. I just picked Genesect because I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's like I was psychic.
The exact conversation. On a separate note, Reshiram, Zekrom, or Genesect? Which one dies?
And here was my logic. Well, you can't kill Reshiram and Zekrom and leave the other alive because they're like best super buddies. Because they're like the opposites of each other and they need to be around or the other one's going to get lonely. Genesect, however, is just an abomination. So go ahead and let that thing die and let the two dragons go off and be happy.
Yeah,
I had a Queenie moment, basically.
Basically. I'm not going to say what got cut.
You'll have to check out the video for that. By the way, is that on the Boomburst YouTube channel?
Yeah, it'll be on the Boomburst YouTube channel.
There's a Boomburst YouTube channel!
Yeah, there's been a Boomburst YouTube channel.
Because of Google.
Because Google Plus demands that you have a YouTube channel if you have a Google Gmail account.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna start linking it in the descripciones.
Are we really? Because what else are we gonna be posting on the Boomers YouTube channel?
There's gonna be a... This is kind of Turf Wars related, too. It's a Skies of Arcadia Let's Play.
Yay! I've
Yay!
never played it.
Most people haven't. It's an incredibly underrated RPG where you play as a sky pirate. It came out on the Dreamcast. I can't talk today.
Nope.
It came out on the Dreamcast system in 2000, but then there was a GameCube port in 2002 called Skies of Arcadia Legends, and that's what I'm going to be playing because who owns a Dreamcast? You know, and it's actually a really great game. It's
Well,
incredibly underrated.
a lot of Dreamcast games are really good. I
Yeah,
mean,
but this is like one of the best of Dreamcast. It's one of like Sega's greatest kind of RPGs. Like just
was about to say Sega's greatest games. Sonic Adventure 2 might have to argue with you on that one.
You haven't like it's just the
Well,
atmosphere, the characters, and the story is all fantastic. It is my favorite game of all time, and I am an extremely picky gamer, and it even has a world that's bigger than Wind Waker.
that's
With the
pretty.
traveling, and you fly around on a airship, and there's all sorts of things to do, and I'm gonna try for a 100% Vice the Legend playthrough, which I've never done before, which means you don't miss anything. You get every single chest. You fight thousands of monsters. You unlock everything. You get. If you can do it in the game, you do it. It's probably gonna be lots and lots of episodes. My current estimations have it to be like an 80-episode series.
Well, I guess, and I'm not guessing this is going to be like a daily thing, maybe like a bi-daily thing.
Yeah, so it's probably gonna take about a year.
Yeah.
To
We might
finish.
try and put other content on there. Maybe we can get Queenie to start doing like, I don't know.
Derpings.
I don't know. Some game.
I can it's I'm gonna see how often I can upload, like how much, 'cause the thing is, editing is gonna be the main limitation factor. But no, the thing is, a standard non-100% playthrough, I find that I average about 130 some hours. Like the most on one of my save files where I have like the highest levels and I found the most stuff, it's about 142 hours of gameplay.
Yeah,
Most
we
of
might
that,
need to.
though, is like battles, which I'm gonna cut a lot of the random encounter battles
Oh yeah, that would really.
because that's just gonna speed up the pace. I'm currently planning an episode, like an outline. I'm plotting like what sections are gonna be in what episode because I want to separate it in a way where it makes sense. It's a story, like if you were reading a chapter book, where a chapter would end, I kind of want to make a video end. But no, it's just there's it's one of the few video games that actually has almost made me cry too. Real men can cry, don't
Yeah.
judge me. So it's just great. And the reason why I say it's kind of Turf Wars related is because when Rocket and Aqua merged, we decided on the name Arcadia because I suggested it because of this game. Because it's Skies of Arcadia Legends, it's a JRPG, of course, and it's about sky pirates who worship the moon.
That is great.
I'm just kind of like, this is Arcadia. So,
Yeah, we might need to find other content to place in there.
well, we
Like
probably
maybe
will.
more different Let's Plays from different people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But who knows? Who knows? It's a new project we're taking on in addition to a bunch of other projects we're working on, which
Yeah, the
we're gonna be burnt out by May.
we
I'm
are,
saying.
but the Boomburst team may be growing a little bit.
Yeah,
So we need slaves.
we need slaves. You know, we got artists. We got artists. I've been talking to people.
We're gonna cut that "we need slaves" line. We have to.
Yeah. We have artists. We got We got Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
I still haven't looked at his
I
at his grocery list.
I know a lot of people. I know lots of people who can do lots of things. So,
we'll have I don't know.
Okay. People. The TLDR version of all this, or TLDL, too long didn't listen. That's a thing now. I just made it a thing. Yeah, is new exciting things coming from the boom burst.
Yes.
And I think that's enough of us talking about how that we have no idea what we're doing with our lives. So let's move on to something else filled with people who have no idea what they're doing in their, with their lives. And let's talk about turn 11 in Turf Wars.
Yeah, so do we want to get the quick ones out of the way first, or do we want to do the long ones?
I say let's just take a big bite out of the meat. You're going to hear us talking about one team a lot this phase, and that's because one team was involved in it's probably closer to two-thirds of all battles.
Yep. Yeah, we might. Let's just get them out of the way right now.
Team Magma.
Yeah, holy moly.
Mm-hmm. They, on top of their own three attacks, they attacked Dim Sun, Snagim, and Solar Trinity at Jubilife, Newbark, and Slateport, respectively. Solar Trinity and Snagim also went all-out offensives against Magma, throwing all six of their tokens at the team, leading up just there to be nine, confrontations.
Yep.
Well, not exactly, because...
And there also was a 10th with Dim Sum.
Yeah, yeah, but...
Don't forget them.
There was also a trade, an exchange between Solar Trinity and Magma for Slateport and Old Ale Town.
Yeah,
It was kind of an olive branch from Solar Trinity to help Magma cut down on two battles.
Yeah, they were exchanging territory, which really didn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it went straight into one of their chains, which isn't bad by any means. But oh my goodness, Magma putting in the work this phase.
Yeah. They lost one territory.
Yeah.
Through this, not counting the one that they traded. Yeah. Like out of territories they battled for, the only team that won was Dim Sun, taking Hearthhome City from Magma.
Yep, in the admin battles. So.
Mm-hmm. So Magma put in a lot of work, and we saw it pay off. Let's just go right from the top. We talked about the Dim Sun versus Hearthhome. Dim Sun winning Hearthhome City 4-2 in the admin battle.
Yeah.
Dim Sun also, Magma attacked Dim Sun in Jubilife City, and Dim Sun successfully defended that 4-1, no, 5-1.
Yeah.
5-1 in the admin battle.
So I guess they technically lost two battles, but they didn't lose any ground on that.
Yeah, well, they lost, they lost Hearthhome.
I know what I said. They know what I said.
They don't know what you said. No one knows what you say.
Shut up, ever. Dude. So they won against Snagim.
Yeah, they won against Snagim in Newbark Town very handily, 4-0 with two grunts and the admin. And what
Slateport was the forfeit, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, the critical thing about Newbark Town, though, is that gave Magma some bonus victory points.
Oh, yeah.
That allowed them to get two... We'll get into this later when we do the point recap, you know, the point breakdowns.
The point thing, but oh my goodness, this was confusing, this phase.
It was.
Yeah.
And there's
shout
so
out,
much...
Shout out to Evo for updating everything, though.
Was it just Evo?
I don't know. I like to believe it's just Evo, but I'm sure there's other people helping.
But,
just mostly Evo.
Evo does a lot of work. Thank you, Evo.
Yes.
And of course, Magma, it was, Slateport was the forfeit. I'm from Solar Trinity. Odale was the forfeit from Magma to Solar Trinity. But then there was also Solar Trinity attacked Lava Ridge Town,
which Magma won with a 4-1 victory with two grunt battles and the admin match. You okay there, Dozer?
Yeah, I choked on air.
Not a good thing to do. But going into the last Solar Trinity battle of this phase was the Little Root match, which tied up leading into a leader match for Magma.
Which, let's talk about that leader match. The leader match, it was Asteroid Belt versus Scup.
Yeah.
And I linked it to you, Zach. Did you watch it?
I did watch it. I watched all the linked stuff this week.
Okay. That's good. You're learning. Yay.
I'm doing my job for once. Yay.
And Scup won fairly handily.
Yeah.
Can we say Mandibuzz super tank?
Mandibuzz is tanky in general, but it really proved its worth in this fight.
Yeah.
But. Moving on to the next set of battles with Cerulean City and Snag'em, it also came up to a leader battle, and quite a tight leader battle.
Oh
that
my
was.
Gosh. 8%. We're gonna, obviously, you're getting spoilers here, so first off, if you don't want this awesome battle's result to be spoiled, because it was really a battle that could have gone either way, it was Scup versus A. Kelly, and they're probably two of the best battlers in all of Turf Wars.
Yeah.
Like, not number one and number two, but, like, they're some of the best. And it was an outstanding battle. The predictions, the switches, the mind games. And so if you want to watch it, pause the Boom Burst, go the episode description, and it's going to be the at leader battle that's linked.
Yeah. It's going to be the second one, I believe. It's like 1290 or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be the second one. I'll mark it A. Kelly v. Scup. But
yes, great match.
8%, though.
Yeah, we're gonna assume you paused it. You came back.
We gave you a sufficient spoiler warning. I think we're just kind of talking your ears off right now.
That
8%.
That 8% is crazy.
8%. It ended. Scup's Mega Steelix was the only Pokemon left at 8%.
And it managed to get an earthquake against
Excadrill.
And which, honestly, if that Excadrill would have gotten one more Iron Head off before it went to the stare down, it could have very well ended.
Not even that, but the thing that was going on, there were so many switches in this battle, because it ended up, it was the, I'm trying to think, Akeli had a Gliscor and Excadrill, where Scup had...
Yeah, the Gliscor got hit hard with the Heavy Slam, to say the least.
Yeah, the Heavy Slam, because the Heavy Slam would hit both Pokemon for decent damage, but obviously the Earthquake would have killed the Excadrill, and the Gliscor would have been immune to the Earthquake, so basically it came down to what's going to be switched, and there were so many switches, because there was also a Landorus Incarnate.
Yeah, very odd thing, but you know, Sheer Force does work, so.
Yeah, and it was a Calm Mindset too, and it did a lot of work.
Yeah, definitely. And then there was also a Gengar, but the Gengar kind of died really quickly.
There was a Gengar on both sides.
Yeah.
They didn't do much.
No, but the Gliscor, it basically in the end came down to Steelix against Gliscor and Excadrill.
And the Gliscor came in expecting an earthquake from Steelix. It could then get an earthquake off because Mega Steelix is very slow. And then the Excadrill could have finished it off with an earthquake on A. Kelly's side. But Scup saw the play coming, went for the Heavy Slam. The Gliscor came in, got KO'd by the Heavy Slam. The Excadrill, and then it was just the Excadrill versus the Steelix. And I'm trying to make sure that, yeah, and then the Excadrill went for an Earthquake, which did about 60% to the Steelix, but the Steelix Earthquake did about 53%, and that KO'd the Excadrill.
Yeah.
Which led to a very close game going into Magma's favor there.
Yeah, just showing off how bulky Steelix can end up being when it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. And just, it was all down to that prediction on the Gliscor switch. Gliscor, exactly. Gliscor, whatever you want to call it.
The thing. The thing that was poisoned.
The thing that had Toxicale.
Yeah, it was a very entertaining battle, to say the least.
Oh, it was a nail biter, and it was fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't really watch any of them, and I don't pay attention to stuff too often.
I kind of have no choice being a neutral mod, but
yeah, I really do like a bulk recap on these days where we just look over literally everything and find what we can talk about. And I didn't know any of the outcomes for this phase, and I watched that and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, A. Kelly's got this, and then the 8%.
No, I kind of, well, I obviously, you know, I saw the battle tracker, so I knew who won, but
yeah, so shut up, Dozer.
It was so close. It was outstandingly close. And that allowed Magma to win Cerulean City from Snag'em, along with going on to win, defend Cerulean City from Snag'em. I knew I said something wrong there.
Yeah.
And Magma also defended Viridian City 5-1 in the admin battle and defended Pallet Town 5-1 in the admin battle.
Yeah. Which just goes to show that Steelix, even though it's an NU, still has plenty of usage in the game of Turf Wars.
Oh my gosh. And, like, the Steelix in the... I just want to go back to that leader battle that I'm still drooling over, really. It was so beautiful. The team that Scup brought had 2 NU/RU Grunt Tier Pokemon.
Yeah.
With the Mega Steelix and Drapion.
Yeah.
And that Drapion essentially seemed like a Pursuit Trapper, and that... If you watched the battle, you saw how it just kind of destroyed that Gengar.
Yeah. But on the flip, it also got...
Yeah, well...
It didn't really do much with the knockoff afterwards.
No, but Drapion did its job.
Yeah.
I'm just... It just goes to show that while we can have all of these tiers specifying different things, like this is what's OU, this is what's UU, this is what's NU, every Pokemon can be good on the right team if it's used well, unless you're, I don't know.
Yeah, shut up.
there's just...
Unless there's like, shut up.
There's bad Pokemon, then there's, I don't know.
He went to Jared. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
I don't know. Shut up.
Horrible person. Back on track, Kerr. So yeah, we talked about all the Magma battles against Snag'em.
Let's take this moment. I want to ask you, Sai, as what do you think when you see a team having to endure this many battles in a single phase?
It's disheartening because it's just seeing all these people gang up on the one team and seeing all these battles means that this could happen to any team at any point in the game.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't so like it can, but I wouldn't so much say that. Because if you look at it, if you go through all the battle trackers, this is very, very common to see happen with Magma.
Yeah.
I think it's more because they're a team that's expanding wherever they can, and they're just kind of expanding everywhere on the world map.
Yeah.
Because let's go take a look at their locations. You can look at the turf tracker or the location tracker in the battles tracker. They've got a good chunk of Kanto. They've got a decent chunk of Sinnoh. They've got a little corner of Kalos. They've got some territory in Hoenn. That's 4 regions where they've got their own little corner of the world.
Yeah, and they're spread out in decent sized chunks. Not enough where it's like I'd say not enough where it's really threatening to any big teams right now. Like, not really to, like, weather position really in Sinnoh is more of a hindrance to Dim Sum than anything else. It's more of just like, we're here, you can't get victory points off of us, and we're just going to hold this for right now.
Yeah.
The same is going for certain points in Kanto and Johto with Snaggum.
And of course, Hoenn with Solar Trinity, even though little less so there, and same with Kalos. They only have like two or three territories in those regions.
Yeah.
So it's a little more scattered, a little less numerous, but it's still... It's still
significant.
It's still points, you know, and they're a few battles away from picking up more victory points, climbing up higher in the ranks, which, as we've seen today, they had 8 battles and they lost 3 of them. No, they lost 2 of the 8 battles. Yeah. So they only lost 25% of what people have been throwing at them. That's a 75% win rate for this turn.
Yeah, that's really good.
It is. It's amazing. Like, just the amount of red on this battles tracker for turn 11. I really don't like seeing such a team overloaded, but it is really fun to see them endure it and keep fighting and keep going. But I mean, I can tell that, you know, they get worn out and tensions get high. And when they see something like this, it's just a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
To have two teams throw everything that they've got at you. Just an all-out offense. I really don't have a word to say, but I don't like it, but it's entertaining at the same time. So, that's all there really is to say about the Magma battles, though, besides that there's a lot of them. They got teamed up, but they persevered, came through, and won. Yay! Heroic underdog story, a la 300-esque kind of thing.
Yeah.
Magma are the Spartans of Turf Wars.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Now let's move on to Dim Sum.
Not much happened with Dim Sum.
No, they got a free territory.
Yeah, that was surprising.
I'm a little bitter about that, but oh well, things happen.
If you remember the last phase recap, we had panned on and we talked about the wireless tower battle, leader battle that never happened, leading that territory to go neutral. We kind of figured there'd be some kind of skirmish for it, either from Snaggum or Arcadia or Dim Sum or something. Dim Sum got it without a fight.
Yeah.
Like, Arcadia posted their actions, and I'm just kind of like, what? And Arcadia attacked Dim Sum anyway.
Well, I mean, from this point of view, you can see that they're pushing to get rid of Dim Sum this phase. Was what they were trying to go for. No. They're just trying to get Dim Sum out of here.
No, they weren't, because if they were trying to get Dim Sum out of there, you guys would have gone for Wireless Tower.
Exactly. Basically, the best move they probably could have gone with would have been to not go for Accumula Town, but I don't know. It was a free territory that was missed.
Well, it wasn't... But, you gave something to Dim Sum, tried to attack them in Cannel Runes, and then lost.
Yeah. Oh, well.
However, though, Arcadia did have 2 battles with Snaggum. The main one that's worth talking about is the Tilt Village battle.
Yes, they're gone.
You say that they, so happily.
They've been ridden from the Oblivion, the Tundra.
Uh-huh. Snaggum, yeah. The first team to break the quote-unquote Arcadian defenses and march into Oblivia.
Has not been the first team to get kicked out of Oblivia.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of counterproductive, Arcadia trying to keep their hold in Oblivia while letting another team get a free territory in Oblivia.
Yeah, and also, as we brought up last time, if it would have been a win, it would have been an extra 3 points on the tracker this turn. So yeah,
and we know that Panda wanted to go for it, but I guess the other leaders decided otherwise.
Yeah, stuff happens. But, oh, know. Well.
And
what happened happened. We got to live in the present. Mm-hmm. Who else is there to talk about?
Well, not much, really.
Oh, there was a Dimsun and Snagum battle.
Oh, yeah. Dimsun attacked Snagum at Santaloon City, and Snagum defended 5-1 with the Adam battle.
Yeah.
Really, when you get past the Magma battles, there wasn't a lot going on.
No. No. It was a nice change to not be attacked by Solar Trinity this phase. Just saying. It was a nice change in pace. We didn't have to deal with the setup Haxorus.
Speaking of setup Haxorus.
Because that's one thing they really love in their thing. If you want a good match to see that with, what was his name? It's Crown Syndrome, I think?
Crown Syndrome, also known as, I think it's Unemployed Hippo on Turf Wars.
I don't know.
We got a lot of, not really a lot, but we got a bit of shout-outs. He wanted Senpai to notice him, I guess.
Not Senpai, but just Senpai. So I guess.
We'll acknowledge his existence.
But yeah, I think something we should probably add to this show is going to be like
a grunt battle of the week,
battle of the week, or like a Pokemon set of the week or something. We're seeing a lot.
That sounds more of a YouTube thing.
Not a shut up, Dozer.
It can fit in the show too. No, I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah, we're not for Listify. What you do is you get out.
We want to show
Mega Steelix.
Okay, Zach.
And
Zach,
you skill swap Mega Steelix to give it
Wonder Guard. And then you use Magnet Rise.
Yes. No, you give it Levitate. You skill swap Levitate onto Mega Steelix.
Levitate onto Mega Steelix.
Or no, you give it Flash Fire. Then Fire type moves. That would actually be really good if you give it Flash Fire or Storm Drain or Water Absorb. It'd be the best doubles Mega Steelix out there. Patent pending. Anyway, let's go into our point totals for the week.
Okay. My head hurts. Ow. Paracos, you're making me kill brain cells.
It could be worse. I could be like your school tomorrow.
On to the points recaps. Yeah.
So,
first off, Arcadia in phase 10 had dropped down to 45 points, but after a really good phase for Arcadia, they got 2 points for their victories in Tilt Village and Accumula Town, and because they took Tilt Village, they actually got another bonus victory point, bringing them up to 48, which is where they were a couple phases ago.
Yeah, so back at even after two phases.
Yay! They made up for the losses from last phase, so... Because they lost nothing, either, because everyone was too busy fighting Magma.
Yeah. Dimsung's battles... did they even lose anything?
They didn't! No, they lost a battle, but it was an attacking battle.
Yes, Dozer did wrong things.
Dozer did a dumb again.
Yeah, so in fact, yeah.
They actually, they won Hearthhome City...
Wait, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. They won Hearthhome City, and of course it was also, they got another point for the Neutral Territory and Wireless Tower. So that brings them up to 32.
Yeah. Nice standing there. Solar Trinity went all out offensive this turn, going 1-for-1 with Old Dale and Slateport, leaving them...
Basically, the only thing that changed was the trade.
Yeah.
So nothing happened. They went from 20 to 20.
And they're in the same territory, so there was no discrepancies that. But now we get into the fun parts.
Magma, phase 10 was at 19, and now...
They got one from Newbark, one from the Slateport trade, and they got 2 bonus victory points for controlling 5 territories in South Johto, which they earned by getting Newbark Town.
Wasn't it 4, not 5?
I believe it's...
It is five. It's five.
It has to be five for them to get the two victory
bonus
points.
No, it has to be four or higher to get the two.
Mm. Anyway. But they also lost Oakdale in the trade, and they also lost Hart Home to Dimsung. So, evening out, they gained 2 points, bringing them to 21, bringing them ahead of Wrestle Infinity.
Yeah, they're back in third place again. Like we've been talking about, these bottom three places do a lot of switchy-switch.
Yeah. Finally, Snag'em started out at 17 last phase. They lost Tilt Village, they lost Accumula Town, and they lost Newbark, bringing them down to 14 points.
Bad, unfortunate phase for Snag'em. Yeah.
And also, the Tilt Village loss is going to be hard, because if they're going to try and push back in, that's another 4 tokens they're going to have to spend. Which...
Not just that, but if I remember correctly, they lost the territory that they attacked Tilt Village from.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't even know if they have another en route into Oblivia.
That's not good.
We should actually check that.
That is what I'm doing right now. So the route from Oblivia was from Cinnabar. Yeah, they have it. Shut up, Dozer.
No, they don't have Cinnabar Island anymore.
They don't?
No, Magma has it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, if Magma wants to come in, I guess they can.
Because Magma tried to attack Tilt Village from Cinnabar last phase.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And they forgot it was a... They forgot it was a highway. So.
Yeah, it was a whoopsie.
It was whoopsie daisies.
That's Tilt Village keeps getting attacked. Like, that's 3 phases in a row now.
Maybe people are unhappy about its angle.
Oh my gosh. Why? Why, Zach? Why?
Because I can.
The current point standings right now, then, are Arcadia in first place with 48, Dimsung coming up in second with 32, Magma climbing up to third with 21, Solar Trinity sitting safely at fourth in with 20, and Snag'em still trailing behind a little bit at 14.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's... Once again, those last three places... They're moving around so much, I've noticed, now that I've started paying a bit more attention for these phase recaps. And I'm really excited to see where things go from here.
Same. So, let's see. This is usually the point where we take a little sneak peek.
Into next week.
Yes. Which next week is a break phase. Thank goodness.
An extended break phase. But Yay. There's first off, there's something interesting that we need to tackle.
Oh my. Yeah.
On the phase 12 ledger, there is, it was just announced today, Sunday evening, that the Greninja suspect test, which we talked about on, we'll talk about on episode 8. We'll give our opinions. Greninja has officially been banned to Ubers by the Smogon OU suspect test council.
Which, honestly, I think it's dumb.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah. It does make sense, but I think it's dumb. But, yeah, so Greninja's out, which, really, the only people who lose it are gonna be Dimsung and Solar Trinity. But have we really seen them use it too much?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They love it.
Actually, there was something that I had to deal with where one leader had told Lysandra that she couldn't use Greninja because it was being suspected, but then Dimsung wanted to use it, and someone asked me about it, saying that, Lysandra couldn't use it, so Dimsung shouldn't be able to use it, and I'm just kind of like, why shouldn't they be able to use it? It's being tested. It's not banned yet. Well, now it's banned, so that question's answered for me.
Yeah.
Can't use the Ninja Frog. Sorry.
No more Ninja Frog.
Mm-hmm. But as Sayako said, this was an extended break phase. Is an extended break phase. And what that means is instead of normally Sunday is the quote-unquote day off, but now the day off starts on Friday. giving people a 3-day weekend from Turf Wars. Yay!
Yay!
Which means, and teams can only use 4 tokens during the extended break phase to cut down on battles.
And I already hate this phase.
And also, there's also a type exchange and trade that takes place on the extended break phase, but we'll get to that once we take a look at why Syrakos is going to hate the break phase.
So I called it before even looking at this. Magma is going straight. Oh, wait a minute. No, I called wrong. So Magma is actually going into Espirita City in Southwest Unova.
Yeah, they got the highway from that trade.
Yeah.
So now Magma has a way into Unova.
Yeah. Also, Dozer, you are wrong. Cinnabar is now owned by Snag'em because of turn 10.
Oh, turn 10. Okay.
Yeah. There's a discrepancy that Magma was also going to try and hit Cinnabar, but because, you know.
Things.
Yeah. Because it's break.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so they're going into Unova, which... And now, I wasn't thinking about this when we were talking about it, but Slateport for Oakdale wasn't quite the best trade.
Wait, that actually couldn't... That wasn't a trade, actually, at all. It does not qualify as a train. It was forfeits.
Yes.
Because the trading says that you can't trade a highway for a non-highway.
Oh.
We missed this, but instead of trading it, they did the forfeit thing, which kind of breaks the trade rule. So we're going to need to reevaluate that, because under location tradings is you can trade standard location. Wait, what?
Is it they can't trade over highways?
No. Let me read this.
Oh my, that is... I just realized how...
No.
Bad.
That is, you can't trade a highway location for a standard location. There are standard locations cost 2 tokens to trade, and highway locations cost 4 tokens to trade.
Oh.
Oh, so this was just a forfeit instead of a trade. It was because Magma's battles were over the top, so...
Yeah, so...
But...
Magma...
That's
the winner of turn 11 with that great territory there. Holy crap.
Whoa, I just realized that was a really bad oversight on a lot of our parts. Because the location trading rule was initiated when Arcadia came up with that workaround of just forfeiting. And now that existence of forfeit just kind of breaks the point of the location trading rule.
Yeah, so we have now discovered a loophole that maybe needs to be brought up.
Gonna get fixed very, very soon.
Yeah. That is... Because I was looking at this and they're like, oh, through Slateport. Oh, that's... They just got Slateport.
Yeah.
That was a bad trade.
it was...
That's like trading your Charizard for the frickin' promo Pikachu. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah. That's...
You done goofed, Solar Trinity. I'm sorry, but you guys done goofed there.
Yeah. You could have offered up something else. It's not like you guys were fighting over...
Here's the problem, though, Dozer.
What?
If they would have offered up something else, the only other things they really could have offered was going to be...
Would have hurt their point totals, right?
They couldn't. It would have been Little Root or Lava Root, but they could have done Little Root. Well, they couldn't do Little Root because it was chained from Oakdale. And the only other one they could do that was left would be trading away Lava Ridge, which would have thrown off their victory points.
But no, that's the thing is, that's a trade that couldn't happen.
And it's a trade that couldn't happen either. So.
It's Ooh. The forfeit. It happened. It is as it is, yeah. Because they did a forfeit instead of a formal trade.
Yeah.
Because a trade wouldn't even be in the battles tracker.
No. But.
But that's something that needs to get evaluated.
Yeah.
Really, like, tonight.
Yeah. Go ahead and...
Yeah, I'll get to that when we're done recording.
Okay.
But...
Anyway,
as to what's going on in
the Moving on to the Goof's Solar Trinity, they're also attacking Arcadia for a Kalos region target.
Silage City and Dewford,
which, as I mentioned last week, is a very key point that Arcadia is going to want to try and keep.
It's a highway location that leads into Oblivia.
Yes, and it's also easy victory points for them.
Yep.
So, again, that's going to be very, very difficult in the end. But aside from that, there really isn't too much going on.
No, no one else has posted actions yet, and there's not going to be a lot happening because of the 4 points thing. But there is something else special. We mentioned the type trade and exchange.
Yes. So those are, we all know that right now the types that you have are pretty crap.
It's hey, I like my rock, ghost, and ice. They're totally the best types in the game. Everyone should want to trade them to me so I can have your types, because it's not like mine are bad or anything.
Dude, it's like types of Brock and
I'd love to have something
Mori
like
and Bryson Man.
I'd love to have something like, I don't know, Darker Fire.
Darker Fire.
Two of my favorite types. I'd like not. It's like, I want to trade like ice for your dark type in the next break phase. No, I'm not trading.
But you get Weavile.
I have Weavile.
Anyway,
but
one thing I thought would be kind of entertaining would be kind of talking about this trade, because it's going to come up. But the real question comes from, do you think a team is going to trade?
Okay, I can answer this in two ways. I can answer if I think it's a good idea, or I can answer if I think it's going, like, trade with my types.
Or just, okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we're just going to say, We're looking at them from alphabetical order, so just look at the main subreddit, and say no or yes in order from top to bottom if you think they need to trade.
If they need to trade,
if it would be a good idea to trade with anyone.
Okay. Arcadia, no, they're in first place for a reason. Their typings are solid. Normal Psychic Fighting is an outstanding trio of types. It gives you coverage against so many things. There's a lot of bulk, and there's a lot of special attacking power in Psychic, a lot of physical power in Fighting. They cover each other fairly well. Fighting gets a lot of Dark-type moves, mainly Knockoff. It's all over this metagame, which covers the issues that Normal and Psychic have with Ghost. Fire rounds that out rather nicely by giving you some bulk that's resistant to Fairy, which Fighting would normally be weak to, and can generally actually hit Psychic and Normal relatively hard. Fire can also help you with some physically defensive Steel types that Psychic, Normal, and Fighting would have issues with, because Fighting doesn't have a lot of reliable accuracy special attacking moves. Granted, yes, they can hit physical Steel types really hard because it's super effective, but a special Fire attack will always hit harder. And yeah, I know a lot of really good fire types are already either part psychic or fighting, but you guys get things like Arcanine. You get Arcanine. I mean, what's not to like?
And to a lesser extent, Ninetales for special bulk.
There's a lot of mono fire, too, that are really solid. It's just, I don't see you guys using any of them.
Yeah.
Fire is my favorite type, so maybe I'm just overly biased, but...
Maybe. Next up is Dimsung.
Definitely not.
No. God, no.
They have arguably the best types of all teams this season. Water, Grass, Normal, and Dark. It is beautiful. First off, Water and Normal gives you a huge pool of Pokemon to choose from. Dark on top of that, you can...
Pool.
And with Dark, which was the most dominating type of Season 1, Dark, a really strong type, You get bulk from normal and water and grass. You get really good grunt options and good admin options. You get things like Mega Venusaur. You also get Amoongus. Those are two of the most notable things I can think of. Also, grass just has really good coverage for them. They don't have... Their biggest weakness is in fighting, but the thing is, grass has a lot of grass poison, which resists fighting pretty hard. And there's really not much a single fighting type can do against a grass poison type, and water is arguably one of the best types you can have in Turf Wars in general, because of all of the bulk and the large pool of Pokemon that you can have.
All right. Next up is Magma.
Magma, so. I can see them wanting to trade, but not with anything that neutral has.
No, we're leaving neutral out of the whole thing because those are all terrible, terrible types.
They're okay types. They're terrible. It depends on what you have to back them up. Now, Magma, obviously, you can't trade your signature type, so they can't trade ground, but ground's really good anyway. They have flying, which has so many Pokemon.
Yeah.
Flying, huge pool of Pokemon. They use a lot of their flying types, and they're really good. Poison is what they gained last round by trading rock for it, and it's proving to be pretty good with them. They get things like Drapion, which we talked about Scup's Drapion earlier. They get Mega Venusaur through that, which we've seen turn out to be pretty clutch in a lot of situations. And the weakest thing that they've got that I may see them giving up is Electric, but I really doubt they'll do that because one of their signature grunt Pokemon is Electros with an amazing move pool, really decent attack stats, bulky enough, just really slow is its only issue.
Yeah. Back in Cypher, Electros was a big common Pokemon to use. Also all the Rotom forms as well.
Yeah, exactly. Electric gives Magma access to every Rotom form. Which in itself makes that
including Rotom Flying.
Who would want to use Rotom Fan without an air balloon, though?
You got a point there. And Magnet Rise.
Oh, and Magnet Rise. You need the you need the four times ground immunity.
It's not four times at that point. It's
like eight times.
No, you double it each time. So it'd be times two immunity. Four, levitate times it's four. Four, it's flying type. Times eight, for the air balloons. Times 16 immunity.
Exactly. You're
if
like
you get magnet rise.
You're like so high in the sky. It doesn't
and then you
matter.
Go into doubles and you have something use kinesis on it, and it has times 32 ground immunity. You're never hitting that thing unless you use Smackdown.
I want to see someone do that, and I want to see SmackDown one-hit KO it, because I just get the mental image of Rotom Fan in outer space crashing down onto the ground.
Especially because SmackDown is like, it's like, oh, I'm hitting the thing with a rock.
Yeah.
Like a pebble. I'm just imagining, like a throw picks up a rock and just tosses it in the air, and you just see this Rotom Fan crashing into the ground.
No, it gets like hit. It's so high in space, it gets like smacked with an asteroid and crashes down into Earth. Like, it's just a slow moving asteroid. It taps it and plummets.
All right, moving on to Snag'em. And yeah.
Snag'em has, you know, Ghost is their signature type. It's a subpar type, but they're making it work. Then they have Bug, Ground, and Fairy. It would make a lot of sense to see the team who, they get the first dibs at trading too. And they're the team that, let's not forget, traded Fire for Bug.
Yeah, not quite the brightest move there.
Well, I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, Bug has a lot of really good types in OU.
Oh, yeah. You got things like Scizor, like, access to Volcarona.
Snag'em's OU pool is probably one of the most threatening out of all teams.
Without a doubt.
But its grunt pool is suffering because of that. So I could see them trying to negotiate a trade. trading either bug or fairy for something that gives them more grunt options.
Yeah.
And since they're in last place, they have the best opportunity right now to trade for anything. But at the same time, they seem to like their bugs a little bit. I like bug type. Bug type's fun type.
It's interesting type and has a lot of grunt options that aren't really all that good.
Mm-hmm. And but... It's not like they have a lot of weakness, like redundancies and weaknesses. It's relatively fairly rounded off. Because, Fairy is strong against Dark, which is super effective against Ghost. Bug is super effective against Dark, which is strong against Ghost. There's more things there, too. Like, Grass is good against Ground, which Bug is good against. Ground is good against Poison, which is good against Fairy. So, yeah, Snagum's types, they balance each other out. I can see kind of where they're going. They're trying to cover all their weaknesses. But they have it's a weird typing.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's very wonky.
It is.
But our last team, I feel like Snagum would be like the one who would try to initiate a trade this phase. Mm-hmm. And it might domino from there, but probably not too much. The last team is, of course, Solar Trinity.
With Fire as their signature type, with Steel, Dragon, and Dark.
Which, they got Dark from Ice, didn't they, last time? Or was
yeah.
there
the... Yeah.
Yeah. So they're definitely not trading at all this phase.
No, their types are actually really solid.
Yeah, and we're not just saying that because they have Steel type.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, there's... Dragon's biggest weakness is Fairy, Steel... Like, that's the big thing. They have a big issue with Fairy, with Dark and Dragon, but Fire and Steel both resist Fairy.
Yeah.
Fire and Steel have a big ground weakness. Well, a lot of dragons don't care about ground types, because a lot of dragons are, like, part flying, but those are mostly the OU
or
ones.
Have levitate.
Wait, dragons can have levitate? Which one?
Oh,
the Lotties and Flygon. Flygon. And Dark is just... They have Moonshine.
Best type. 10 out of 10. Would type
Solar
again.
Trinity, if you guys want me to love you even more than I already do, have someone use a Moonshine. And, PM me the battle replay, and I'll, feature it on every episode of the Boom Burst that week. Which would actually
Dim-Sung.
Be, like,
Dim-Sung.
A week
Dim-Sung
later.
Could do it, too.
Dim-Sung could do it, too, but I really don't think that they'd listen to me.
No, they won't. And then we come to the mod types. And really, the mod types, I think they need to trade for something because they're pretty crap right now. I mean...
I can't whistle.
What are you trying to whistle?
Just the nonchalant whistling. I can whistle Andy Griffin.
No. I'm going to pull a Queenie on you and end this call.
No, that's what I do to Queenie.
That's backwards. Anyway, speaking of ending this call, I think we've overstayed our welcome for this episode.
Yeah, there's not much more to talk about, really, at all. The type trade's going to happen. We're going to tell you the results of that next week, along with see if Arcadia lost more territories, and we're going to have fun times.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, except if you're on Arcadia, because now you already have three battles, probably going on four, depending on what you guys do. We need to get more people on the show.
I'm glad that I jumped ship when I did.
What?
What? Arcadia, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said something else.
What'd you think I said?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But... No, I think we need to get more admins or leaders or something on here. So it's not just you and me talking about Turf War stuff.
Probably, since Queenie doesn't like coming to the phase reviews.
No, I don't even like coming to the phase reviews.
I do it
I just come so that Dozer doesn't sound like someone with schizophrenia.
Hey, Dozer, what do you think happened today? I don't know, Dozer. What do you think, Moonshine?
It's just that right, Moonshine.
Anyway, I've been Dozer.
I've been Psy.
And goodbye. Oh my god, did you drop again?